Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. You're Never Too Old to Surf is the title of a new book designed to convince seniors that the digital age in general and the Internet in particular are something to be embraced, not feared. We'll talk with the author a little bit later. But first, we'll spend some time discussing the Logo School, one of the most respected institutions in the Midwest. It's observing its 45th anniversary of serving at-risk students. In fact, it's the only school of its kind in the Midwest, serving middle and high school students with academic and emotional needs. Joining me in studio is Dr. Kathy Boyd Fenger, the Logo School head of school. She is a former Logo student who went on to earn a Ph.D. Also with us is Colin Miller, the Logo School Clinical Director. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Our pleasure, Don.
And happy,
thank you.
Happy birthday, I guess. When exactly is the date?
It is September 9th, so it's coming up. It's that second week in September will be our 45th birthday.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. Kathy, let me start with you. Give me a short profile and history of Logo. So why it came into being, for instance, and how it works.
Absolutely, Don. Logo was started in 1970, and it actually started just a couple of blocks from this radio station, three blocks east of the Fox on Washington. And it was a drop-in center when it was first started in 1970. It was started by an ex-Jesuit, and it was started for students who were just disenchanted by education and at that time for students who wanted a place to be rather than just being on the streets. And from there, it morphed into an alternative school and then quickly became an accredited alternative high school. And in the early 90s, we added the middle school. So we are a middle and high school, grades 6 through 12 now, fully approved by the State Department and accredited for students to have a chance to mainstream or get their high school diploma.
How many students are we talking about?
We have 100 students.
And faculty?
Faculty we have, so now you'll see this wonderful individualized kind of ratio that we have. We have 49 staff.
A ratio of about 1 to 6, I think I read. I haven't done the math yet on what you've just
said.
Yeah.
Well, full staff, because, and Colin will talk a little bit about this, but we have therapists full-time on staff. And so with our therapists and our teachers, we have a 3-to-1 staff-to-student ratio. But for teachers in the classroom, it's a 6-to-1 teacher-student ratio.
That's got to be the envy of every school in the within the sound of our voice and beyond.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is.
Colin, tell me about the job of the clinical director. What do you do?
All the students that start at Logos get assigned a therapist. And we have a staff of 9 therapists right now. And so I oversee our program, what we're going to implement, any new ideas that we want to come up with and do with the kids. We also have student groups, and so we kind of get together and talk about how we want to run the groups, who's going to be in the groups, and who'd be the best fit in each group. And the therapists, the kids that they get assigned to are the ones that we think that therapist is going to match up best with that child based on their needs. Mm-hmm. And so we get with the students as soon as they arrive and set goals. And that's going to be our main focus for them in the amount of time that they spend at Logos.
And it really is a wide range of issues that these students come to you with.
It is.
Give me a sense of what some of them would be.
So some of them come to us, all of their experiences at the traditional school, for some reason or another, did not work out. Challenges. So some of them may have been bullied. Others, learning disability that wasn't treated as well as it could have been.
Or identified,
and, right, perhaps. And falling through the cracks, mental health issues for sure. And so it really can run the gamut. So that's why I think that the goals of each student is a little bit different. It's based on their experience. Some may be there just to recover some credits with the thought of going back to their previous district and graduating there.
And how do they come to you? I mean, do they find you, or do you work with their previous schools, for instance, to saying this might be the right way to go?
We do have relationships with a lot of the school districts here in St. Louis and in Illinois. And so sometimes the district will refer a student if they think that they want to give that a shot. Other times, parents, they'll hear about us through the community and come in and take a look and learn a little bit more about our program and decide whether or not it's going to be a better fit for their child. Word of mouth a lot. We've got lots of really good, strong relationships with doctors in the community, psychiatrists, and other community resources.
Kathy, what about qualifications? What criteria do you establish for people who are interested in attending Logos?
You know, I think the biggest thing is that we look for students who are kind of disenchanted and looking for an opportunity to be able to find that hope again and succeed. And so our admissions criteria is that we do an in-depth history with the family, with the parents and the student. And if we feel like they are a good fit, we accept over 98% of all people that apply at Logos. And so we aren't the school for someone who needs a very rigid, regimented kind of behavioral-based program. We're a very therapeutic program. Every student receives an hour of individual therapy. That's what Colin was talking about with that therapeutic programming, and 2 hours of group therapy. So they have to be geared towards a therapeutic versus, you know, very strong, regimented behavioral program.
I saw somewhere that the average stay for a student is just 2 years.
That's absolutely right. Students come to us in two ways. They'll come to us, particularly if they come early, Don, in that middle school year. They'll stay a couple of years with the goal of mainstreaming back to a more traditional setting, maybe their home school district or another private school. And or if students come later grades, they'll graduate from us. But the average length of stay is about 24 months.
Do you mind my asking about your own situation? I mean, you were a former student at the school.
Absolutely.
What was going on in your life when you went to Logos?
I was that typical quiet, lost, fell through the cracks kind of kid. So I had depression for sure, but I did not know I had that at the time. I was just very disenchanted, felt very lost in my big public high school in the county, and I just shut down. And my parents saw that very early on and started talking and had heard about Logos and sent me there. And there I was able to just flourish. I as a child, always loved school, and then all of a sudden when high school hit, I had lost that love, and I was able to get that back.
Get it back and take it all the way to a PhD. That's not very bad.
That's
Colin,
right.
What about working with the parents? This has got to be a key part of what you're doing. You can't leave it all at school. The kids go home at some point.
It's definitely a partnership. One of the things that we offer to the parents is a parent group, and it's run by somebody on the therapeutic team. They get to choose a night that works best for them, and then they come, and between the therapist and the other parents, they learn the skills that they may not have known even existed. And so that allows them to kind of take the work that we're doing during the day home with them and then foster a better relationship with their kids and you know, learn how to make the family stronger and closer and how to implement all of those things. So the partnership piece is huge for us. We can still do our job without it. And, you know, honestly, sometimes we don't have that, but we try our best to get the parents involved. It's really, really important, and I think they learn a lot.
Is there some kind of schedule with the parents, those who choose to get involved? I mean, is it a once-a-week thing or once a month?
It's once a week, and then we also, our school year is divided up into terms, and so one night a week each term, all of the parents come together throughout the whole school, and we'll do a night where they can spend the time doing academics with the teachers, finding out what their students are learning, they also get time then to talk with the therapists and get updates on things there as well.
Kathy, what kind of feedback do you get from parents?
You know, as Colin was talking, I was smiling because there's many favorite parts of my job, but one of the things that I love the most is when I have parents tell me that you didn't just help our child at Logos or help them succeed or find that hope again, you helped our whole family. And you helped heal our whole family. Because when you are a parent who has a child that's struggling in school, it's painful for the whole family. And it's painful as a parent to see your child not succeed. So the feedback we get is that it truly is an entire family process at Logos. And those parent groups that Colin talked about are very important. But the therapist also once a week call those families and talk with them. And so there's so much communication between the parents and the school that I think that helps the whole family heal.
Who makes the decision that it's time to mainstream?
Well, that can get tricky.
I would
because
think.
Absolutely, as a parent myself, if I saw my daughter doing better, I'd say, great, she's ready to go. And we have a very finely honed process because we want not only the students to learn those skills that Colin talked about, but to solidify those skills so that when they move on, they can be successful for the long haul. And so sometimes it's a conversation, and we begin that conversation early. If parents say, I would like, you know, or the student says, I want to be at such and such school by my junior year. 6 months prior to that, we're really spending time talking with parents and the student and the incoming school about what needs to be in place and how to support that student.
Now, Colin, are there situations in which the youngsters may fear making that move? In other words, leaving the comfort of what they've had for the last 2 years, if that's the mm-hmm. average, and then moving on to a totally new environment?
It can be difficult for some of them, that's what I meant earlier when I was saying, like, their goals will change. Mm-hmm. You know, once they're with us and they've had such strong support that they hadn't ever had before, it can be really hard to make that decision for yourself because you're not sure, like, well, am I only going to feel this way here? You know, can I really take these skills and go out there and apply them? And so sometimes we can give it a trial and do half days with us and try the school that they're wanting to check out too. And that kind of gives them an idea of what it's going to really be like out there. And also, you know, we're not going to just put you out the door without mm-hmm. feeling like you can do it. You know, it's not just up to the adults involved. We really try to get them involved in the decision making. It's because it's for them.
What about follow up once they do cut the cord, if you will? What, mm-hmm. is there follow up from Locust?
We always hear back from our students. We also have transition plans that we put in place prior to them leaving. That can be their whole last year that they're with us. And we really get into detail with them about what they want to do next. Is it school? Is it getting a job? And so we try to make that happen for them. And so we stay in touch with them, but also with the community resources that we've hooked them up with. And we get the feedback that way, but then they always come back and see us as well and let us know how they're doing.
Kathy, do any of them come back to stay? I mean, stay for a longer period of time than might have been anticipated, rather than just the kind of follow-up that we talked about earlier?
You know, it's fun to hear as I was listening to that. We have students come back, call, particularly mm-hmm. around a report card. They'll say, guess what? I did it. And they'll mm-hmm. come and show us their grades. But, you know, occasionally we'll have students who will reach back out to us and say, oh, it's kind of shaky yeah. and I need some support and I need some help and I think I need to come back. And at those times we will often go work with the family, work with the school and help them see they can make it because there's rough spots everywhere and that, you know, teaching our students that they can make it through those rough times and have the skills. Sometimes it takes that. So they'll want to come back sometimes. And occasionally kids, we don't always have all of our students leave at 2 years. We mm-hmm. have students that certainly have started in middle school. Three of our kids that graduated this past summer came as middle school students and stayed all the way through their high school career and graduated. So that happens too.
Right. We have to take a break now. We're talking about Logos School, which is about to observe its 45th anniversary. That's going to happen in September. My guests in studio, you just heard from Kathy Boyd Finger, the head of school at Logos, and also with us is Colin Miller, the Logos School Clinical Director. We'll be back to take more questions. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd prefer to send a tweet, that's STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with representatives from the Logos School. Head of school, Kathy Boyd Finger, is with us. Also, we have Colin Miller with us, the Logos School's clinical director. You know, one of the things I've seen, Kathy, about the school is that you have individualized lesson plans. The class size may only be one teacher per six students, but that puts a lot of pressure on the teacher, I would think, to deal with these students on an individual basis.
You know, it absolutely does, and our teachers are phenomenal. And that is absolutely why we keep that student-teacher ratio so small. So we follow the state curriculum, and our, say, freshmen will have Algebra 1 and a freshman English class and, you know, world history and physical science, the typical classes that you have. However, all of our students' learning styles are taken into account. So if you have six students in your classroom, some may be auditory and need it, you know, told to them. Some want to see it. Some need hands-on. And so that same lesson is being taught six different ways or seven different ways. And it puts a big burden on our teachers. They're amazing, resilient, hardworking, as all teachers are. But our teachers really do give it their all. One of our teachers last night was up, I know, past midnight, you know, planning these individualized lessons for what she's teaching in English.
Colin, do you play a role in that, in assisting the teachers and in individualizing these lesson plans?
We do. So the therapists get all the information when the student starts, and so we get together and share the information with the teachers. Any information on the student that was given to us from the previous school that might be helpful to allow us to get to know the student a little bit better. And therapists also act as the liaison between the teacher and the student a lot of times. If there are issues in the classroom that we can be a part of to help kind of remedy that situation. Our role is just really mainly to be there to help in any way that we can. So we're going to support the teachers, but also support the student as well.
Special qualifications for teachers at Logos, Kathy?
You know, our teachers are certified in two ways. A lot of our teachers, the majority of our teachers, have special ed certification, and then some of those same teachers have content area certifications as well. So they'll be certified in math, but also have their special ed certification. But we require that all of our teachers have one or the other or both in order to teach at the school.
Are they generally in it for the long haul?
You know, it's funny, as we were celebrating with you off air about Colin being here 10 years and this being Colin's kind of 10-year mark, I started thinking about our teachers, and our teachers are in it for a long haul. It's not an easy school to work at because our kids come with a lot of baggage from hurts that they've received along the way. And our teachers, you know, stay 6, 7, 8 years. And we go 11 months, so they are not in it to get those summers off. They have to go year-round.
And you've been with it since 1983.
I have. I started when I was 5, Don. I wanted to make
it. I'm with you on that. Let's take a call. Patricia will join us from St. Louis. Patricia, thank you for being with us. Go ahead.
I struggle bringing my daughter up. She successfully has gotten her degree. She's moved on. However, she still struggles with me because I don't communicate well enough for her.
Are you asking for advice on how to communicate, or?
I'm kind of struggling. I wish I would have found the school for me. I wish I would have found it for her. She struggled. She was very depressed when she went away to school, when she went away from mommy, and she got her degree. She's moved on, but me being the mother that I am, I struggle with my communication skills, and I'm her special mother.
I think it's tough when when our heart is involved, and clearly you love your daughter very much. That's coming across loud and clear. You know, it's hard to put aside that love and those emotions and be able to communicate what you want to do because our emotions get wrapped up in it. So I'll let Colin speak a little bit, but one of the things I always tell our parents is take a breath. You know, give yourself a little distance from whatever you're trying to communicate. Think about it for a minute because as a mom myself, I tend to, you know, think my job is to make sure that I'm teaching and everything goes right for my children. And my delivery isn't always the most effective. So I would say take a pause and a breath and think through how you want to say, not just what you want to say, but how you want to say it.
What's your advice, Colin?
I think when it comes to communication, the thing that I would like to see Patricia do most would be when you're trying to convey something to your daughter, don't do it in the moment. You know, I think things are easier said and easier received when it's not in the heat of the moment. So if there's a conversation that you want to have that conversation when things are going well and try that route.
Well, the route's not working because I have went to the route to emailing her to, and the funny part of it is she's the one that's giving me the break when everybody tells me to give her the break. She's like, she pushes me away, which I should be pushing her away the way that she's treated me and belittled me and doesn't understand that I can't communicate.
Sad. It's a sad story to hear.
It is. Have you ever been in therapy, Patricia?
No, but I'll get it. I'll get it. I mean, I've spoke this way my whole life. I've struggled this way my whole life. And my emotions do get wrapped up because there is so much there. There is so much hurt there.
Patricia, thank you. We'll say goodbye and give you a chance to compose yourself. Thank you for the call, and I hope this this works out for you. I hope that we can have some information here that might be useful to you. Anything more you'd like to say to Patricia?
Just to reach out and find out what resources are there in your community so that you can get the help that you need. And you can only control your part in this with your daughter, so get yourself well first.
The issue of communication, I'm sure, is one that you run across a lot mm-hmm. because of the type of young people that come to you. I mean, a lot of them have issues that make communication extraordinarily difficult, I would think.
Absolutely. And what we strive to do for them is to teach them a new way of doing things and getting comfortable with that new way. And it might seem out of the box, but that's what they require, and that's what's going to work for them because the traditional way hasn't.
Kathy, is there a particular story that you have about any student that stands out, any issue that stands out that, you know, you really point to as one of the great Logo success stories?
You know, I would say, and we have so many, and that's what feels wonderful. You know, the reason I can do this since 1983 is we have so many success stories, and we see families who are in such pain, and we see it get better, and we see relationships get healed. But a recent story is a student that was bullied in her school and came to us very, very withdrawn, very hopeless, and spent some time at Logos, graduated from Logos, is now at a university doing very well, actually in media production or in film production. And you know, watching not only her find her strength and find her way that she could succeed and get heard and get that self-esteem was wonderful, but also seeing the family heal and the fact that she was going to drop out of school and now is doing very well at a university and succeeding with her future goals is great.
What about the funding and cost? Is there a tuition to pay to attend Logos?
There is absolutely a tuition to pay. We are a private school, and tuition is very, very expensive. We give, because we're 11 months and because of the therapy, we provide full tuition. It is $27,000 a year. And as everyone gasps, including me.
Including me, yes.
Yes. We have a very, very strong financial aid program, and many families have financial aid. And then also we have incredible community partners. We raise over $1 million a year. So that we can continue to provide services and fund for families in need. And we have an annual gala every year, and this year is our 45th anniversary gala. It's October 3rd. And, you know, there's community partners that step up to the plate for the school, not just at that gala, but throughout the year. And some of those community partners in our area are Hush Blackwell, Deloitte, Express Scripts, Lodging Hospitality Management. We have great community partners that really, really help us.
You know, you put yourself in a box here because once you start naming them, you pretty much have to name them all.
I know, but we have lots.
You have lots. Yeah, well, you can go to the website, and we'll put a link to your website on ours at stlpublicradio.org where you can see all of them and see a lot more about Logo School. Folks who have been listening today are interested in pursuing, you know, perhaps contacting you folks. I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Congratulations. Happy birthday once again. We'll look forward to that gala. Kathy Boyd-Fanger, thank you so much, and continued success at Logos. And Colin Miller, thank you for bringing your expertise to this discussion today.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you both. And we're going to move along now. We're going to go from teaching teens to teaching seniors, teaching them not to fear the Internet. It's next. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.